This morning we're starting a new series called Doors, if anyone could maybe guess from what's behind me here. But I wanted to start off with a quick story, and it was from when I was in fifth grade. And I distinctly remember this because it was the first time I traveled to Iowa. Now, my grandfather had grown up in Iowa. He was an Ionian, if that's what you... People of the corn, we'll call him that. And so he had decided he really wanted to take the grandkids, my two brothers, myself, and my sister, he really wanted to take us out to Iowa so his mother could meet us. His mother was in her mid-80s, her eyesight was starting to fail, and so he decided he wanted to take the kids to Iowa, the grandkids to Iowa, so that we could meet his mom, she could meet us, before she lost her sight. Now, this was the first of three trips I would take to Iowa. I took one later for my great-grandmother's 90th birthday. And then when I was in college, I went out for a week after my grandfather passed away. I took my grandma out for a week to visit with family and whatnot. But this trip stood out to me. It was the first of the three trips. And this was the only trip that we didn't fly. We rented a motorhome. Now, it's only a 900-mile drive from Lancaster County to Kelowna, Iowa. But as a 9, 10-year-old, it felt like an eternity. Plus, my grandparents had to stop every 2 hours for a bathroom break. Plus, it was the middle of the school year, which meant we weren't on break, we had homework. So I remember distinctly sitting at the little table in the motorhome while Grandpa was driving, and we got to do homework. It was a magical experience. And then the third thing that really sticks out to me was Walmart, because we went to a lot of Walmarts. 900 miles, we stopped at almost every Walmart, and that's where we would spend the night. You'd go in, get some groceries, come out, stay in the camper for the evening in the parking lot. But what stuck out most, what I remember after all of these years, the one thing that always comes back to me has nothing to do with the trip. All of those fond memories of driving and homework and Walmarts, but the one thing that always stuck out to me was opening doors. You see, early on the trip, my grandfather got extremely frustrated. We would walk into a building, and the grandkids would run in because we were happy to be not in the motorhome. And we'd run in, and Grandpa and Grandma would follow, and the door would be shut in their face because we just didn't understand this concept of holding a door open. And this drove my grandfather insane. And so very quickly, he sat us down and explained to us that in a polite society, you hold the door for the people behind you. And so for the following week, he trained us into how to hold doors and open doors for people, how to be polite and respectful for the people behind us. And as a 9 or 10-year-old, this raised some questions for me that I struggled a bit with. For one, how many people do I hold the door open for? You know, you open, come up, please, come in. And all of a sudden, there's 65 people behind them, and your family's walking off, and now you're getting tips for being the doorman. So I was a little confused on that. How many people do I hold the door for before I kind of close it in someone's face? But the other one that really got me was, what do you do with double door entrances? Because, you know, you walk and you open the first door, but now there's a second door, kind of like we have out here. And I remember as a 9-year-old holding one door with my foot, and the other one like, yeah, come in, come in. And so we kind of were struggling to understand, okay, we're supposed to open doors. That's what you do to be polite and respectful. But how long do you hold the door open, and how do you handle double doors? And to be honest with you, these questions still plague me a little bit today. We go somewhere, and Allison and Alan walk in, and I'm holding the door, and all of a sudden they're finishing up their shopping trip, and I'm still holding the door, and I look like I'm a staff person now. But this is a valuable lesson that has stuck with me all these years. You open doors for people. In fact, a few months ago, shortly after we moved up here, Allison and I went to the DMV for the second or third time to finally get our licenses transferred to Pennsylvania. And as we were leaving, there was a gentleman following us out of the building, and what did we do? We held the door open. And this guy lost his mind. Oh my goodness, you must not be from around here. People don't do that anymore. And I didn't have the heart to explain to him that, yes, I grew up here. But he was just shocked because someone held the door. It meant so much to him. But it's what I, and I suspect many of you, were taught to do and how to be polite and how to show respect. It's just what we're taught to do. But it's not just what we're called to do in a physical way. We are called to open doors and to hold doors open spiritually as well. And I would like over the next several weeks to use doors as an illustration of the mission we are called to by Jesus. As we launch into 2017, and I know, again, we're just coming into February already, but as we launch into this new year, I feel that God is calling us as a church to focus on the doors that we're opening, both as a church and as individuals. Because we are called by God to open doors to the gospel, to invite people in to the saving grace of Jesus and to reach the world for him. And so this morning, I just want to go through some scripture together to kind of establish this mission that we have from God, this calling that each one of us have. And I'd like to start with 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Because Paul says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And so we understand that as believers in Jesus, we are not just called to put our faith in Jesus, to trust Jesus to forgive our sins and welcome us into heaven, but we are also called to represent Jesus as ambassadors. That when we go out into the world, as we interact with people, we're representing Jesus. That when they hear the words from our mouths, they should hear Jesus speaking. And then when they see the actions of our hands, they should see Jesus acting. That we speak on his behalf, and we share on his behalf, and we love on his behalf. Paul says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We are called to represent Jesus. So we go out into the world shining his light. And John, in the book of John, chapter 4, 35, Jesus says, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest." And Jesus tells his disciples, and I think he's telling us too, that as we look out into our world, we need to understand that now is the time. We are called to be Christ's ambassadors, to go out and shine Jesus' light into the world, to be salt and light, because the world needs him now. The harvest is ready, as Jesus says. He says, simply open your eyes and look out and see the people who don't know Jesus, who are lost and suffering and need to meet him. And so the question we have to continually be asking ourselves is, are we representing Jesus to the world? As people see us and they hear us and they listen to us, are we representing Jesus? Are we opening doors of love and forgiveness and grace that Jesus offers to us and to everyone? Because Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, and we read this last week, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus, some of his last words to his disciples and to us were instructions. Therefore go. Go and be active. Jesus, it's not just one thing to say, "Hey, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to represent him," but we're called to go out into the world and do something with that. To go and make disciples, to share our faith. Again, using the door analogy, to open doors. To say, "Hey, come see what I have to offer through Jesus. Come see what Jesus wants to share with you." Because the reality is, and I think you'll recognize this, it's easy for us to come to church and worship on a Sunday morning, to come and be inspired by the love and grace of Jesus, to be reminded of God's love for each of us. But we're called to action. Jesus says, go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them, be active in your faith. And so while, yes, it's very easy for us to come and worship together and be inspired and uplifted together, that's not the end game. We are called to be active, to go forth from this place each week, to be ambassadors, to represent Jesus in the world, to look with open eyes to see the harvest, those who are lost and seeking God, needing God, and to reach out to them. And I know for myself and for many of us, sometimes it's a challenge because we just don't know what the words are. Sometimes we're like, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't know what to say. I don't know how to interact in a way that shows Jesus' love to these individuals. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, that we should always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, and to do this with gentleness and respect. And I think that's a starting point for us in how we go out into the world, is we each have a story. We each have an answer for the hope that we have. And some of us have very exciting stories. And some of us have very simple stories. Like myself, I met Jesus when I was 3 or 4 years old. He saved me from a life of sin, and I've lived for him since. But that's my starting point. That's my story. Last week, we had baptism. And each person who was baptized shared a piece of their story with us as a congregation. They said, "Hey, this is part of my story. This is part of when I met Jesus, part of the things that Jesus has done in my life." And that's why we share those stories, to give an answer for the hope that we have. And so it's a starting point for us. As we go out into the world, we can simply start with, this is why I am who I am, because Jesus loved me. Jesus died for me. But Jesus also reminds us in Luke chapter 12 that we're not alone. He says the Holy Spirit will help us to know what to say. And so there's a level of trust. As we go out into the world, as we represent Jesus, we have to trust that God will provide for us, that trust that the Holy Spirit who is in us and with us is going to help us to know what to say. Because we are clearly called to share our faith. We are clearly called to open doors, to speak and share the forgiveness and the hope that we have through Jesus. To simply open the door and invite people into the good news of Jesus. And so the question that I want to raise this morning, the question that we're going to be asking over the next several weeks is, what doors are you opening? What activities in your life, what actions, what words are you using to open the metaphorical door, to speak Jesus' love and forgiveness into the world? We'll explore what some of those doors look like and how we open doors and how maybe even we close doors at times. But I do take one moment, too, to say, if you're here this morning and you're just checking out this church thing, maybe you're here this morning and you don't necessarily believe in Jesus. You're like, I'm just here because I want to find out what church is all about. Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning. That means somebody in your life has opened a door for you. Someone has said, hey, come check out my church. Or, hey, you should look into this church thing. Jesus has something to offer you. And so I simply want to say this morning, we're so glad that you're here, and we want to welcome you and know that we love you and we care about you, even though we just met you. Because Jesus loves you. And because Jesus loves you, we love you. And so we're so glad that you're here with us this morning. And so this morning, I thought just as we launch into our annual meeting here in a few minutes, as we kind of look into the year ahead, I wanted to spend some time talking about what doors that we as a local church are opening. What do we as Hope Born in Christ do in our community? What doors are we opening, and how can we all work together? And again, in the next couple weeks, we'll do more of an individual assessment. We'll look at how we each open doors, but I just wanted, as kind of a unifying time, to spend some time as a church saying, what are we doing, and how can you help us do it? And so I'm just going to run through a couple of the larger ministries, some of the larger doors that we're opening. This is not an exclusive list, and so if there's a ministry that you're involved in and I don't mention it this morning, please don't be mad at me. I didn't want to be here for 6 hours, and I figured you didn't want to either. But the first one that I want to just spend a few minutes talking about is the one we've talked about a lot recently, and that's our Upward Soccer program. We've been talking about it a lot because we're getting ready to kick it off for this spring. But I wanted to make sure we all understand what a great opportunity this is to connect with our community. And I have yet to actually experience, this is my first season I'll be around for, but I've been hearing so much about, and it's amazing to me how many people we have coming onto our church property that we have the opportunity to interact with. Last year we had about 100 kids who were coming one night a week for soccer practice and then on Saturday mornings for games. And at every one of those practices, they hear the gospel. And at every one of the soccer games, the gospel is presented. And so it's not just the 100 kids that hear the gospel over and over and over again. It's their parents and it's their families who come to watch them. And then the kids who already know Jesus are being reinforced with this message, and they take it into their schools and into their daycares. And so you have to understand that this isn't just a soccer program. This is an avenue, a resource that we have to share the gospel and spread it even beyond ourselves. And so this morning I already mentioned, you know, Quentin is going to be our prayer director for Upward, and he's looking for people who will help pray over our kids and pray over these families, that they would have open ears and open hearts. We have an evaluation day coming this Saturday, and we need help. We have games and coaches that we're going to need, and refs. We have a lot of open needs. And again, it's just committing a little bit of your time to say, I'm going to open a door sharing the gospel by playing soccer. Soccer is simply the means to spread the gospel. Another thing that we do on a weekly basis is our Monday night sports ministry. And I had the opportunity a few months back to go and kind of meet some of the guys and see what's going on Monday nights. And I have to tell you, it's one of the coolest things I think that we do here as a church. Because we have guys coming in from inner city Lancaster to play basketball. And they think they're here simply to play basketball. But this is probably the only time they ever will be in a church building throughout the week, throughout the month. And so, yes, they're here to play basketball, but they're also hearing the gospel. Each week there's a devotion that's shared. And, you know, I was a little skeptical, to be honest with you, because here are these guys, they want to play basketball. There is no breaks. There is no stopping. Like, it is basketball and nothing else. And I am very unathletic, and it was very intimidating. I did not play. They would have crushed me. So when Eric announced it was time for the devotion, I thought, oh, this should be interesting, because they stopped for nothing. But 30-some guys stopped playing basketball, sat down, and had the most respect I've ever seen listening to the devotion. And when it was over, they got up and they played basketball again. But they heard the gospel. And they know that all the people there who are there to help and to organize, they know that these people care about them. That Dot and Larry and Eric and all the team, they're there and they care about these guys. And they say, hey, can you pray for me? And they share their prayer requests and they share their hearts, not all the time, but sometimes. And so there's this opportunity to speak the gospel and open a door that they'll never get anywhere else, because they'll never walk into a sanctuary like this to hear a sermon. And the other really cool thing, too, is that they're starting to bring their kids. And there's young teenagers coming, and they're in the youth lounge just hanging out. And so there's more interaction there. Again, basketball is just the means to the gospel. We're opening doors and sharing the light of Christ by basketball and by dinner. Speaking of food, because you know it's one of my favorites, the other thing that we do here as a church that's, again, kind of a small little thing but so important in my mind, is coffee and donuts. The first Friday morning of the month, we have coffee and donuts, and we have signs out in the road, free coffee and donuts. People come into the carport. You know, we haven't been doing it because of the winter months, because it's cold and we don't want to be outside. But in the spring, we'll be kicking it off again. Free coffee and donuts. It sounds so simple. And in my mind, if I was like, okay, this is just kind of something nice that we do. But what's interesting is that people come every month and they recognize us. And people actually, instead of coming through the drive-through, they'll park and come and say, hey, could you pray for me this month? There's just stuff going on in my life and I need to pray with someone. Again, these people may not be coming into the church on a Sunday, but they're understanding that we're a church who cares about them, and we're here if they need us. And so we've seen people stop and say, hey, I've been coming for a while. I just need to talk to someone. I need someone to pray with me. People who are serving each month, they recognize the people, and there's a conversation, hey, how are your kids? And if nothing else, we're opening the door for people to understand that we care about them, and we have something to offer them, coffee, donuts, the love of Christ. It's just another door that we open. Coffee and donuts are simply the means to sharing the gospel. Another big ministry we're going to be participating in this summer is Go Beyond. And I know we've done a Go Beyond week of service in the past, and it's something we're going to be looking to do this year. Some of you may not be familiar with this, but there's a large collection of churches here in Lancaster County that set aside 1 week each year to simply serve the community. And we have some large projects that we do collectively, and then we each do some small projects individually. One of the big projects is they clean up the entire city of Lancaster. They have 2,000 people come into the Barnstormer Stadium, get 30 buses, and in 2 hours they go around the entire city of Lancaster picking up trash and cleaning up the city. They have a prayer walk to get out into the city and share the love of Christ, to pray for people. And so we as a church are going to be participating in this week again, just as a way for us to get outside of our four walls, to go out into the community and share the gospel, both in Lancaster City, but also here in Hempfield. Now, we don't know exactly what projects we're doing. I think Lee and I are meeting this week to decide that a bit, right? So I can't tell you exactly what we're doing, but I can tell you that you need to pull your phones out right now and mark May 13th through the 21st down. Grab the pencil and the pew, write it on your bulletin, May 13th to the 21st. Sometime during that week, maybe on the weekends, maybe during the week, we're going to be out in our community serving. Not because we necessarily want to get dirty, I prefer to stay clean, but because I want to go out and I want to open a door. I want to share the love of God and just simply speak love into the world. Two more things that I just want to talk about briefly this morning is one of them is meals. We as a church provide meals. Both our 55 Alive group and our deacons are out in our community providing meals. The end of February, we have a hospice meal that's coming up. And in your bulletin this morning, there's an insert for some of the food they need for that meal. And we also provide community meals over at the Lutheran Church in Landisville. Again, food is a great way because everybody needs to eat. And so we as a church, some of you guys are really good cooks. I've been eating some of your food lately. It's delicious. And so we share that food with people, and we can sit down and just say, hey, how are you? As we eat, I mean, that's what you guys do at dinner every night, right? You talk to your family, you share about your day, you share about what's going on in your life. And that's what we do when we host community meals in the community. sit down and talk and share who we are, to give, as Peter said, to give, be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. And then the final thing I want to touch on this morning, and it's a big one, so I feel bad that I'm kind of condensing it, but we have our missionaries that we support. And again, this is kind of a different way. We support financially several missionaries throughout the world and throughout the country. And so our finances are opening doors for other people to open doors. And so we as a church, as a local church here, we support missionaries in Alaska, in France, in Colorado, and several here in the Lancaster County area. But it's interesting, too, because we're part of a larger family. We're part of the Brethren in Christ Church, the denomination of Brethren in Christ. And so we have what we call the BIC Common Ministries. It used to be cooperative, now it's Common Ministries, where we give money into the denomination, and they use that money to support missionaries all over the world. So because of our giving, because we're simply opening a door by writing our tithe each week, our giving is opening doors for other people to share the gospel. And I just wanted to share two quick things. There was actually an email we got this week from Chuck and Kathy, thank you. Oh, that's right there on my notes. Chuck and Kathy Powers in France, they actually just sent an email in this week updating us on some of their ministry in France. So I want to read most of that letter to you quickly because it was full of good news, and this is because of some of the support we're able to give them. So they wrote, "We have lots of good news to share with you. God is answering your prayers. A young man, Florent, who came to our Thanksgiving dinner the past 2 years, has started attending church, and we believe that he has accepted the Lord. David's sister, Sylvie, who too came to Thanksgiving, also accepted Christ, and it is thrilling to see her transformation. She hosted our cell group this past Thursday. She will soon be getting baptized along with Esther, the young woman with two small children we wrote about last time. We just had our annual business meeting and took in 5 new members. There is a wonderful spirit at the meeting. God has given us a great unity. Tomorrow night, Chuck has been invited to participate in a roundtable discussion with an imam, a rabbi, and a priest. Please pray that he will be able to share Christ. February 5th, we have been invited to share our ministry in a church in London. This is a wonderful opportunity because it is close enough that people can come over and help us. Quite some time ago, a neighbor of our church in Boulogne visited the church a couple times, but then he wrote that and said that he was going to remain an atheist. 3 weeks ago, he started attending again and is now very open. Pray for Guillemin's salvation. There is also another family, Charlene and Frederick, and their little boy. Charlene is saved, but her husband isn't, but he has been attending faithfully. He is in the military, and so now will be absent for 2 months. Please pray that the Lord would work in his heart. We are looking forward to sharing in person what the Lord is doing in Christ, Chuck, and Kathy." And they'll be here at the end of March to share with us more about what their ministry is doing. But if you listen to all of these salvations, all these people who are hearing the gospel, who are having the door open to Christ, these are people that you and I will never probably meet. And yet because of what we do, the powers are able to share the gospel with them. And in your bulletin this morning under on the prayer panel, there's a prayer about Asia, that through the BIC Common Ministry and the missionaries that we support as a church collective, there are missionaries in Asia, we simply have their initials as T and AW, but they sent in sharing that over 100 people have recently come to know Christ in Asia through their ministry and through your part of their ministry. And so it's interesting just to think about, even just by writing out my tithe each week, by giving faithfully to my church, I'm opening doors around the world for people to meet Christ. So these are just some of the doors that we open here at Hope Born in Christ Church. Again, there's a lot more. These are just some of the larger ones that I wanted to focus on this morning. And the question again is, what part are you playing? What doors are you opening? How are you getting involved in our church's mission and our church's outreach into the world? Because we each have opportunities to share. We each have opportunities to open a door. Because your neighbors are not my neighbors. Your coworkers are not my coworkers. When you go out to eat and you have a waitress serving you, that's a different waitress than I have when I go to a different restaurant. We each have people that God has put into our lives that we are called to open the door for, to share our faith and to share the love of Christ. So why do we do all of these things? Why do we have soccer? Why do we have basketball? Why do we have coffee and donuts? As I've mentioned before, it's just the means. The goal is to open the door, to speak truth, love, and to share Jesus. It's just a method that it's the methods that we use. And there's lots of different methods. There are lots of different doors that we can open. I just want to remind you again this morning, we look back in September at the vision of our church, of who we are called to be. And we are called to be a church of hope, a light on a hill, welcoming all who long for something more, bringing hope, healing, and renewal in Jesus' name. This is who we say that we are as a church. And as we talked about in October, when we went through this, we said, if nothing else, this vision implies action. Because every word in it talks about doing something. And so we are called to action. We are called to go out into the world, to open doors, to share the love of Christ. And so again, I keep asking, and the question we'll be asking for the next month is, what are you doing? What doors are you opening in your life? Because the reality is, we need to open doors. It's not an option, it's not a choice. We need to open doors because it's our job and our mission from Jesus. This is what we're called to do. This is what God commands of us and asks of us, that we would go and make disciples. If we don't, people will never experience the love and forgiveness of Jesus. And just to kind of put it in maybe a perspective, imagine yourself on Black Friday. You're lined up to go shopping. The line goes the whole way around the store. You're all excited because at 5 a.m. or probably now on today, like 11 p.m. the night before, the doors are going to open and you can go in and shop. And the employees, what is their job? They're inside the store and their job is to sell you stuff. And one of their job is to unlock the door. And what if they never did that job? You would never get to go in. You would never get to go shopping. And this is what we're called to do. We're called to open doors, to invite people into the gospel and the good news of Jesus. Or put yourself, maybe you're hosting a party. You go out and you buy all the snacks and the drinks, put up the balloons and the streamers, but you never send out the invitations. So when the time of the party comes, it's you and a whole lot of chips to eat because you didn't invite anyone. This is what God calls us to do. To open doors, to invite people in. The church is called by God to open doors and invite people into the gospel. It was a quote that was given to me a few weeks back from a Global Disciples magazine, and it really has been sticking in my mind and applies directly to this. Because it said, the church does not exist for us. The church does not exist for you and I. We are the church, and we exist for the world. And for those who have yet to hear about Jesus, think about it. On a Sunday morning when we gather to worship, when we come to church, it's not really an accurate statement because we are the church. Biblically, people are the church, not a building. And so we as the church exist to reach the world for Christ. And so I close with the same question over and over and I keep asking is, what doors are you opening? Are you shining Christ's light into your corner of the world? It's not a matter of should you do this or when is it appropriate to do this. The reality is we need to do this. This is what God has called us to do. So what doors will you open? Will you pray with me this morning? God, we live in a world that is full of busyness and schedules and just so many things going on from day to day, week to week. And it can be very easy for us to get into a routine, into habits and schedules that just kind of go with the flow. Yet, God, as we look at Scripture, we are reminded over and over again, we are your ambassadors. We are called to speak on your behalf, to live as examples of your love and forgiveness. We are called to go and make disciples, to proclaim our faith. And God, that can be scary sometimes. That can be nerve-wracking or challenging or just outside of the box for many of us. But God, your word doesn't leave any doubt. This is not a suggestion. This is something we have to do, something we need to do. And so God, I simply pray that over the next couple weeks, as we continue to look at doors as an illustration for our sharing of our faith, that you would challenge us just to go beyond ourselves, go beyond our level of comfort, go beyond our normal routines, and that we would open a door, that we would share the light of Christ, the love of Christ, the forgiveness in His name, the hope that we have in Jesus with the world. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who gave his all for us. Amen.